We're in the middle of Tairahe and Likudim around Tanina. We're up to the middle of ice test. We're going to have a very, very quick review of what we had till now. Just major terms, and we'll take it from there. Then as I'll start off the Torah talking about Emuna, about how important Emuna is, and how Emuna saves a person from all kinds of sicknesses. And when there's an afil of Emuna, a person could get hit with so severe a sickness, chas v'shalom, that all the things that could usually be applied to curing a sickness would not help, such as tefillos, chosavos, screaming. And Rabbein Ezal spoke about the concept, two major items, the fixing up of Emuna, the fixing up of one's Emuna, and finding Eitzais. Rabbein Ezal associated the two things, finding Eitzais, drawing Eitzais, and the fixing of Emuna. And Rabbein Ezal said that both of these things require the Tzadik Emes, who's the Ish Tevunais, the one who helps a person find these Eitzais, and helps a person fix up his Emuna. And Rabbein Ezal said that as the Emuna of Klal Yisrael gets fixed up, this presents a problem, sort of, because it brings about a Hiskarvus of Gerim to Bnei Yisrael. Gerim start coming close, and these Gerim bring with them a gaiva, which when it falls into the wrong hands could cause problems. When this gaiva falls into the hands of the leaders who are not worthy leaders, chas v'shalom, this causes problems. And Rabbein Ezal said the tikkun for this is through the Mogine Hador, which was another nickname used for the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, who purify their minds to a very, very high level of purity through tikkun abris. Rabbein Ezal said their minds become the bechin of tefillin, and this tefillin, which represents this purity of the mind, this solves the problem of gaiva that's brought from the gerim. As we explained in previous weeks, we're not going to go into now exactly how. These were all concepts that we explained in earlier shiurim. Rabbein Ezal said once the brain is purified by these tzaddikim to such an extent, that's what allows them to give forth the burim ksherim, pure words, which are able to help cure and fix and bring close to Hashem people who are very, very far from Hashem. Rabbein Ezal referred to that as Shiva Meshivei Tam, which come from the Shiva Rayim, which come from the seven parts of the brain represented by the Shin Shel Gimel Roshin, the two shins on the tefillin. Then the last item that we spoke about last week was the concept of dreams that Rabbein Ezal spoke about. The fact that dreams could come, the Gemara says in Brachas that a dream, when a person dreams, it comes from one of two places. It comes either through a malach or through a shed. And Rabbein Ezal, in the part that we were discussing, Rabbein Ezal explained that according to how well a person purifies his brain, that's what determines whether he's zeicher that his dreams come from a malach or from a shed. And this is where we had left off. We're going to start maybe from the beginning of paragraph Tess. We'll go a little bit quickly through the part that we did last week, and then we'll pick up from where we're up to. Rabbein Ezal says, "V'zeh bechinas chaloyim al yidei malach." This is the concept of a dream coming from a malach. Ki elu hamamorois hein bechinas malach, bechinas chaloyim al yidei malach. This speech, this pure speech that these tzaddikim are zeichet to by purifying their minds, and we know that the speech is simply a reflection of what's in a person's head. Rabbein Ezal says this speech corresponds to the concept of a dream coming from a malach. Why? Because we're going to show how the same way that speech comes from the brain, dreams also are an imprint of the brain. Just as a person's speech is an engravement, it's a tangible output of the brain, so too is a dream a type of a tangible output from the brain. In other words, not a direct hookup to the brain, but something that's a result of the brain. Rabbein Ezal explains, Ki hadibur hu harishimo shel hamoach. The dibur, the speech of a person, is the imprint of the brain. It's a result from the brain. In other words, the point that he's trying to make here is it's not literally what's in a person's brain. It's a byproduct of the brain. That's the word we wanted to use here. That a person's speech is a byproduct of his brain. A person studies, let's say a person is asked to speak, to lecture on any topic in Gashmias or Ruchnias or anything like that. Whatever he says is a byproduct of whatever he took into his mind in his research in preparing to give this speech, in preparing to give this shiur. Rabbi Nizal says now, Ki hadibur harishima shalamoyach. The dibur is a byproduct of the brain. Ki ma shenirsham venelam b'moyach. That which is inscribed and hidden inside a person's brain, nechkak venirsham b'hadibur, comes out in an open manner within the person's speech. It becomes engraved and inscribed within his speech. Ukishamaych in zakim, when a person's brain is pure, shalidei zenas nimrois tahirois kanal. We explained before that when a person's brain is pure, then what comes out of his mouth is also pure. Azai gam kishin estalik hamoyach bishas hasheno. By a person like that, even when his brain leaves him, when his brain shuts down for the day, for example, when he goes to sleep, ve'ein nishar rak harishimo shel hamoyach, and all that remains, what happens? The brain doesn't leave completely. There is something left over. Just as the Sifrei Kabbalah explain, we know the Gemara says that when a person passes away, the Gemara says you have to be very careful at a person's funeral not to say anything nasty about him or not to say anything bad. Why? Because the Gemara says that the mess hears whatever the person, whatever people are saying. This dead person can hear and see what's going on. The question is, how can he hear and see if his neshama has left him? And we say that the chiyas of a person is his neshama. So how can he hear? How can his senses function in any way? The answer is, the Sifrei Kabbalah explained, there is something called a kista dechiyusa, a small, tiny fraction of the neshama, in a sense, that does remain behind with the person. And that's what allows him to have certain lifelike functions. Here also, it's a similar concept. The Gemara says that sleep is 1/60th of death. When a person goes to sleep, his brain leaves him in a major way, to a major extent. But there's no question at all that there is some rishima left behind. There is something, a trace of what was in there during the day is left behind at night, and it's from that trace that's left behind that the person's dreams come, Rabbi Nizal says. Azai gam horishimo zako. So when a person keeps his mind pure during the day, then even when his mind leaves him at the time of sleep, and the only thing that's left is this trace of the brain, this imprint, shehu bechinas dibur, which corresponds to the concept of speech. Azai gam horishimo zako. Then the imprint that's left behind is also pure. Bechinas chaloim al yedei malach. This concept of a pure dream, which the Gemara gives the title, a dream coming from an angel. That represents pure dreams. This period. Now Rabbi Nizal gives a second example of this concept of the das, the seichel, the brain, and when the brain leaves, what's left behind? Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh b'chinas she'achar histalkus Moshe, after the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, bo sar tzvo Hashem, there came an angel. Va'omar, and the angel said, Ato bosi, now I have come. Histalkus Moshe, the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, zeh b'chinas histalkus hadas. That's a concept of the seichel leaving. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the seichel, the brain. If we look at the whole Jewish nation as an organism, what's the brain of that organism? Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who presented the whole das, the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Bechinas Shena. So the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu represents the seichel leaving, which is a concept of sleep. She'oz hadas mistalek. When a person goes to sleep, his eyes close, his brain closes. Ve'ein nishara korashimu. And all that's left is the trace, the imprint of what was there originally. Azai hu bechinas vayomer ani sar tzva Hashem. Then the person falls into this category of what this malach, when he came to the Jewish people after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, he said, I am a messenger of Hashem. I am an official of the army of Hashem. Dehainu malach, meaning that he was an angel. Ato bosi, now I have come. Ki oz nishar horishimu bechinas malach, bechinas chalayim al yedei malach. Because that's the most appropriate time. Why does he say, now I have come? What's the stress on that word? Ato bosi, now I have come. Because that's the appropriate time when an angel comes to a person, when his brain leaves him, at the time that a person goes to sleep, when dreams are brought to him, one of the manners in which the dream comes to the person is via a malach, via an angel. So too, correspondingly, when Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented the brain, when he left, so too, that was an appropriate time for a malach coming to Bnei Israel. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh bechinas." This is what's hinted to in a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, "Hashem yitein oimer hamevasrois tzavarov." Hashem gives forth speech. Hashem gives validity to the words of the Nevi'im, the prophets, what they tell us about the fact that they foretell that there's going to come a time when the Jewish armies are going to be very big, they're going to expand to become very, very great, Hashem gives their words validity. Rabbi Nizal explains, note, Hashem yitein oimer, Hashem gives forth, oimer means speech. Now, this refers to a person whose speech is heavenly. In other words, he purifies his words to make sure that his words are pure. Rabbi Nizal says now, Hashem yitein oimer, zebechinas imrois tahiras. Now, that refers to a person who's zeichet to this pure speech. Bechinas harishimu shel amayach. That's the meaning, the residue that's left of his brain, whatever has the imprint of his brain in it, is pure. Shezebechinas malach kanal. That's this concept of an angel. Vezehu hamevasrois tzavarov, kainu malochim kanal. The word tzava is used to represent the armies of Hashem, which are the angels, the malochim. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh bechinas ma shemuva b'kisvei Arizal shetzvoko yisu anelam shel Shakai." It's brought in the writings of the Arizal that the name of one of the names of Hashem, Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, when written out in its full form, Shin is spelled Shin Yud Nun, Dalad is spelled Dalad Lamed Tov, Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalad. The milui of it, meaning just the filled out portion without the shin dalad yud in front, meaning the second two letters of shin yud nun and the second two letters of dalad lamed tov, those letters are bigimatria 500, which is the gematria of the word tzvokos with the kolel. The name tzvokos is another name of Hashem. The word tzvokos is bigimatria 499. With the kolel, it's 500. So tzvokos with the kolel is the milui or the ne'elam of Shakai, as it's called. Sometimes we use the word milui, which means the filled out portion, or sometimes we use the word ne'elam, which means the hidden portion. Because usually when we write the word shin dalad yud, we don't write the yud nun of shin and the lamed tov, but it's assumed, it's implied that when you pronunciate it, you're going to say it that way. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Ki ha-ne'elam shel shin dalad yud hu b'gematria tzvoko yisim ha-koilel, kemavur sham, as is explained in the Kisvei Arizal. Hainu she ha-ne'elam shel shakai dahainu, ki shebechinas shakai shehu ha-moichin nistalek. We said before, in a paragraph before this, that Shakai is the name of Hashem that represents the purity of moichin. That's why that's the name of Hashem that's found on the tefillin. The only name of Hashem that's found on tefillin is the name of Hashem, shin dalad yud. So Shakai represents the purity of the Moyach. Rabbi Nizal says, "Dehainu kishebechinas Shakai shuha Moichin nistalek." When this concept of Shakai leaves, bechinas histalgus haMoichin b'shah shena, which represents this concept of the Moichin leaving a person at the time that he goes to sleep, ve'ein nishar rak harishimu, and all that's left at that time is the traces of it, the imprint of it, shehu bechinas ne'elam shel Shakai, which is the hidden part of Shakai, azai zois harishimu hahi bechinas ne'elam shel Shakai hu bechinas tzvokos, bechinas malach kanaan. Then the remainder, when Shakai leaves, when we remove the major part of the brain, the part that's functioning throughout the day on a regular basis, when we take that away, the remainder, what's left behind, is Tzavokos, which is a nickname given to the Malochim, Bechinas Malach, which means that when a person goes to sleep at night and the regular part of his brain that's functioning throughout the day leaves, shuts down, and all that's left is like a small, tiny remainder, a tiny trace of what was there originally, that trace manifests itself in the form of tzavokos, the form of a malach. If the person is zeichet to have his mind be pure, that his mind was really bechinas shakai during the day. Rabbi Nizal says now, v'zeh bechinas, this is what's hinted to in a pasuk in Daniel. There's a pasuk in Daniel where the pasuk says that Daniel had a dream, and in his dream he saw a vision, and in the vision, usa'ar reshe ka'omer noki, he saw that the hair on the head was like a very pure wool, a very pure wool. Rabbi Nizal is going to explain the concept of hair, the concept of the head, and what this wool represents. Rabbi Elazar says now, Sa'ar reishe, the hair on the head, zebechinas hisnoitzitzus hamoichin. That represents the shine of the brain, the glance of the brain. Usually when you draw a picture of something that gives off a light, a radiance, you draw the item, let's say the sun is drawn as a circle, and around it are lines coming forth showing a glow. A glow is depicted in the form of these lines coming out. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the hair on a person's head represents the hisnoitzitzus hamoichim. The moyach is like a candle, it's like a fire, a light inside. The rays manifest themselves within the hair of the person. Rabbein Azal says now, Ki hasaros yoitzin min amoichin, because the hair comes forth from the skull, from the brain. Ukishamoichin ikim vizakim, and when a person keeps his brain pure, azai, he keeps his mind pure, azai naase game horoshimu bechinas malach. If a person keeps his mind pure, then not only is his mind pure, but even the remainder, even the imprint of his brain, will also show itself to be so pure. It'll be this concept of a malach. Vizehu keomer noki. The pasuk says there that the hair looked like pure wool. The word omer in Hebrew means wool. Rabbi Nezal says this word wool represents angels. Why? Rabbi Nezal says omer roshei tevois oise malochov ruchos. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where the pasuk says Hashem uses the winds as his messengers, as his malachim. The first letters of that pasuk make up the word omer. So we see that the pasuk in Doniyo, which says that the hair on the head was like pure wool, what this actually represents is that the reshimu of the brain manifests itself in these malachim, in this concept of oisei malachov ruchos. Rabbi Nezal says that's bechinas malochim shenasna yidei horishimu kishehamoichin ekiim vezakim. This is the imprint of the brain that's made when the moyach is kept pure, very, very pure. Avol kishein hamoichin ekiim vezakim. But when a person doesn't keep his mind pure, azay nasem bechinas sarois, then the hair, we just represented the hair as a dover shebikdusha, as being a very holy item. Then the hair becomes an item of impurity. Bechinas usseirin yirakdusham. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya where the word seirin means shadim. The word seirin, which is the same word in Hebrew for hair, also means shadim. The shadim will dance over there in Bavel. There'll come a time when the shadim are going to dance. Bechinas chaloim al yidei shed. So we see that this same term, sa'ar, which is a byproduct of the brain, as we said before, this word sa'ar can refer to malachim, this concept of usa'ar roishe ka'omer noki, oisa malach of ruchais, or the sa'ar can correspond to this concept of se'irim, which is shadim, that this imprint of the brain could manifest itself in a dream being brought to the person either by a malach or by a shade. Rabbi Nezal says now, v'ze bechinas odom ubehemo. There's a pasuk which says, Odom ubehemo toshia Hashem. Rabbi Nezal is going to explain now how the word Odom represents a concept of a dream coming from a pure source, from a malach. The word behema represents a person who doesn't keep his mind pure during the day, and his dreams come from shadim. Rabbi Nezal says now, Adam bechinas, the word Adam represents the pasuk. When was Adam Arishon first mentioned in the Torah? There's a pasuk that says that Hashem said, Nase Adam b'tzalmeinu kidmusenu. I was going to explain now the term Adam and the term behema. Rabbi Nezal says, a person who's zeicher to keep his head pure throughout the day, where he's zeicher that his dreams are brought to him through an angel, that person is a concept of Adam. Why? Where do we see an association? When Hashem first created Adam, Hashem said to all the angels, Nase Adam b'tzalmeinu kidmusenu. Let us create man in our image, like us. Rabbi Nezal explains, Kidmusenu, the word Kidmusenu means like us. Zekoyach hamedame, that refers to the concept of a person's imagination. That's one word for koyach hamedame, a person's power, imaginative power, to see things similar to reality. In other words, not reality, but something like reality. Rabbeinu Zal says, so the word demus is miloshen medame, referring to something similar, imaginative. Rabbeinu Zal says, shehu bitzalmenu, which is in the image of whom? Who was Hashem speaking to over there? Hashem was speaking to the angels, and he said to the angels, nase Adam, let us create something called Adam. What is Adam? When the demusenu is bitzalmenu. When the person's koyach medame, his imaginative power is bitzalmenu, in the image of a malach. It comes from a malach. Bechinas malach, bechinas chaloyim al yidei malach. A concept of a dream coming to a person through a malach. Ki b'shas sheino, because at a time that a person goes to sleep, hamoyach mistalik, the brain leaves him. Ve'einisha rak b'chinas koyach hamedame. Therefore, any thinking that a person does at the time that he's asleep, is that thinking being done by his actual brain? The answer is no. That thinking is being done by a koyach hamedame. It's something similar to the brain, but it's not the brain. It's sort of an imaginative power that exists as a byproduct of the actual functioning of the brain. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki b'shas sheino hamoyach mistalek ve'inisha rak b'chinas koyach hamedame, u'kishamoyach inzakim." And when a person is zeicha that his brain is pure, azay gam hakoyach hamedame shenishar hu b'chinas malach, then even his imaginative power will also be pure. The concept of a malach, b'chinas kidmuseinu bitzalmenu. Rabbeinu Zal is showing an association between these two words. Kidmuseinu refers to the koyach hamedame, the imaginative power. The person will be bitzalmenu, will be in the image of a malach. It'll be like a malach. It'll come from a malach. Shehakoyach medame hu bitzalmenu bebechinas malach kanal bechinas chaleim al yidei malach. Fizeh bechinas adam. This is what's called adam. Kamoy shekosev, as the pasuk begins over there. Nase adam. Let us create man. So adam represents a person who is zeichet to keep his mind pure, very, very pure, to such an extent that even when his mendame takes over, even when his imaginative power takes over, they're also pure. And their purity reflects itself in the fact that his dreams come to him via a malach. Now note, we've said before on other occasions, the fact that the word Adam itself represents purity of the Mayach. Why? Because we know that the letters of Hashem's name that represent the Mayachin are the letters Yud-Kei. Yud-Kei are the letters of Hashem's name that represent Mayachin. How many Mayachin are there? There are three parts to the brain. Chachma, Bina, and Das, or Keser, Chachma, Bina. We always refer to three parts of the brain. Three times Yud-Kei is Begimatria Adam. Three times the letters of Hashem's name which represent the brain are Begimatria Adam. So we see that the title Adam refers to Seichel. The title Adam refers to Seichel, purity of the mind. In this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal brings it in to such an extent that when a person is Zeichel to be called Adam, it means he purifies his brain to such an extent that during the day his mind is so pure that even when his mind leaves him at night and what takes over is a byproduct of the brain, the imaginative power of the brain, the creative power, even that will be pure to such an extent that it'll be a reflection of the malachim. It'll be similar, it'll be coming from a malach. Whereas, Aval Chaloyim al Yidei Shed, but when a person doesn't keep his mind pure, so that his dreams are brought to him via a shed, which is a power, a spirit of tumo, Ze Bechinas Behema. That's called a concept of Behema, an animal. That's called a concept of an animal. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Veshoid Behemois Yechitan. We see an association between the term Shoid, which is similar to shed, and Behema. Those two words are put next to each other. Literally, what the pasuk refers to over there is v'shoid behemos, the robbery. Shoid there means miloshin shoide, the terrorist, one who robs and plunders Bnei Yisrael, who are being referred to over there as the animals of the forest. Yechitan, that will let itself out, that will smash the enemy. In other words, this that the goyim plunder the Jews, this is going to turn back on them and hurt them later. But in any case, we see an association between the term shed and behema. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vze bechinas odom bikor bal yolin nimshal ka behema isnidmu." There's a pasuk in Tehillim where the pasuk says, let's take the literal translation of the pasuk first, and then we'll understand how Rabbeinu Zal is applying this pasuk here. The pasuk says, "Odom bikor bal yolin." Yikor means a person's wealth, a person's greatness. Which person, no matter how wealthy he is, when he goes to sleep, his confidence is in his wealth. In other words, every person, no matter how wealthy he is, he goes to sleep, he doesn't know if he's going to wake up as wealthy as he is now, or he's going to wake up very dead, period. So the pasuk warns a person not to be confident in his wealth, not to place his whole confidence in his wealth, that should give him an arrogance, a self-reliance kind of thing. So the pasuk says, Odom bikor bal yolin. A person does not go to sleep with his wealth, meaning putting his hopes on his wealth. Nimshal kabehemois nidmu. Whereas a person who does that, chas v'shalom, is compared to a behema. He's similar to an animal. And only an animal would be as dumb as to do something like that. So we explain the taich of the pasuk. That's the simple taich. Rabbeinu Zal is going to use the pasuk, this pasuk, to prove how a person who doesn't have a pure mind during the day, how he's not zeiche to be called Adam. He's in the category of behemah. Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'zeh b'chinas odom bikor bal yolin. A person, bal yolin means does not go to sleep. A person who does not go to sleep with yikor, bikor, what did we say before in the Torah? What did yikor refer to? Tefillin. The Gemara says in Megillah that vikor, la'yehudam ha'isa oira v'simcha v'sasoin vikor, vikor refers to tefillin. Tefillin is the purity of the mind. That represents a person who's zeichet to real purity of the mind. So, odom bikor bal yolin hainu, kishe'enoi lon v'yoshon, bikor, when a person does not go to sleep with bechinas tefillin, kanal, hainu, she'enoi mezake hamoichin bechinas tefillin, he doesn't purify his mind with this to achieve this level called tefillin, azai nimshal kabehemois nidmu. Then his medame, nidmu is miloshin medame, then his imaginative power is nimshal kabehemois, is compared to behemois. Hainu oz hakoya hamedame bebechinas behema. Then his imaginative power is in the category of behema. Bechinas chaloim al yidei shed. His dreams come from shedim, which we said is v'shed v'shoid behemois. Shed is bechinas behema. Sheze bechinas behema kanal. Period. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds on, so now we've explained both sides of the spectrum, Adam and Behema. We showed how Adam refers to a person who has a pure seichel, and therefore when he goes to sleep at night, his dreams are chalim al yidei malach. Behema is a person who doesn't keep his seichel pure during the day, therefore his dreams at night are bechinas shed, chalim al yidei shed. Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'zeh oisiyos malach, this is hinted to in the word malach, because we said before in an earlier paragraph that who are the ones, what was the title that Rabbeinu Zal gave over there to the ones who are zeichet to real purity of the mind? Rabbeinu Zal called them Megine Eretz, the protectors, those who protect the Jews from the catastrophe that could be brought about by the Gerim coming and joining them, and this glory falling into the wrong hands. The Tzadikim, who have real purity of mind, were called Megine Eretz. Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'zeh oisiyos malach, this is all hinted to in the word malach. The word angel makes up the first letters of a pasuk in Tehillim, which is the pasuk, ki leloikim mogine eretz. Hashem possesses tzadikim who are mogine eretz, who are protectors of the land. The first letters of that pasuk make up the word malach, meaning, ki al yedei mogine eretz. Through these mogine eretz, who are these tzadikim, who are zeichet to such purity of the mind, nase hamalach, they create this malach, through the fact that they perfect the brains and the tefillin, which we spoke about. It's through this purity and fixing up of the brain, that's what creates this concept of chaloi malidei malach, a dream coming via malach, meaning via a mocker of kedusha.
And the pasuk nasa adam tzalmenu, which is a proof to the malach. How do you see the malach represented clearly?
Bitzalmenu. The fact that who is Hashem referring to? In other words, when he said Bitzalmenu, did he mean his own image, Hashem's image? He would have said Bitzalmi. Bitzalmenu means in our image, meaning of the Malachim. Hashem was putting himself down, lowering himself, labeling himself as one of the Malachim. Let's make man in our image, collectively. That's the punchline. Any questions of what we had? If it sounds deep, the fact is, on one hand it is, this is very, very deep. On the other hand, it's very simple, because the nature of Rabbi Nizal's teachings is not to show off depth. That's not the reason why this Sefer was written, so that nobody could understand it. This Sefer, every word that's found in this Sefer has practical applications to every Jew. There's no Jew that's left out. What he's talking about here in simple practical terms is a person keeping his mind pure throughout the day, and he said here very clearly that purity meant in thoughts about women, the wrong type of thoughts, any illegal thought about women, that's what will help a person be zeiche, that his dreams at night will also be of a constructive nature. They'll come from a pure source, they'll be chalei ma'ideh malach versus chalei ma'ideh shed, which is a concept that's discussed in the Gemara. This isn't super Kabbalistic terminology, this is a beferish, a Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara tells us over there that dreams come from one of two sources, either a source of purity or impurity, chas v'shalom.
Disturbing thoughts that prevent you from sleeping.
Right.
How would you prevent that?
By keeping your mind pure. In other words, obviously, that which has an effect on a person's sleep is his purity of mind during the day. And if a person finds that he has difficulty in sleeping, then this is what he has to pray to Hashem. It doesn't necessarily mean that he has an impure mind. We're not saying that this is a guarantee, chas v'shalom, that a person's mind is impure. But what it does mean, that a person has to pray that these two items are associated with each other. And according to how pure a person's mind is, that's what will determine how peaceful and how constructive a sleep he will have.
I think this talking about the person who is more impure, he'll have dreams by a malach. But isn't that like a step down? I mean, who would be concerned about what your dreams are going to be like? If your thoughts are going to be impure during the day, that's the worst possible thing, because
right.
That's what you're primarily held responsible for.
Right. But we're saying that, in other words, that a person lives for 24 hours a day. You should know that you're held responsible for 24 hours a day. So that what you do, you figure a person goes to sleep, whilst the system shuts down. The whole computer shuts down, and now nothing, there could be no crime committed. Or, on the other hand, there could be nothing positive affecting a person's neshama at night. In other words, I'm limited to 12 or 15 hours a day that I'm awake. That's when I can benefit and advance my neshama through Torah, through mitzvahs and everything. Whereas those 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hours that I sleep, that's sort of gone. It's not counted in the cheshbon. Rabbi Nizal makes it very clear here that that is counted in the cheshbon. And it could either serve in a constructive nature to help the person to bring him closer to Hashem if he has these dreams, chalei ma'ideh malach, or chas v'shalom, it could be metamei him if he has this chalei ma'ideh shed. One brings him closer to Hashem, one brings him further. What controls it? According to how he conducts himself when he is fully awake. So in other words, we're saying here that besides whatever bad thoughts a person has during the day, he's committing a sin of an hour or 15 minutes during the day, it can also reflect itself on a whole night's worth of trouble.
What would be an example of a person benefiting through a type of dream at night?
The answer is obviously, if a person sees something, there are many, many people whom it's brought that through a dream that they had, that made them wake up and be chayzer b'tshuva, or bring them closer to Hashem. There are a lot of stories like that, where because a person saw something at night, it made him change his whole way of life, period. Now here again, sometimes it's something that a person remembers. Sometimes it could be something that a person doesn't even remember. The Gemara says most dreams that a person has, he forgets what he dreamed. So afal gaf de'ilu lechazi maslechazi, it could be he forgets it, but he wakes up one morning and he finds he has much, much more strength and energy to do things, to do mitzvahs, to serve Hashem, and he doesn't know it's because of something that was brought to him during the night. Period. There are things going on that we know nothing about. Okay, now Rabbi Nizal says, okay, so far we spoke about one item that has a major effect on a person's dreams. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to bring another item into the picture. Rabbi Nizal says, Avol yesh gam lehama'acholim chelek b'chalayim. Just as a malach can play a portion in a person's dream, so too a ma'achol, which is the same letters as the word malach, a ma'achol, what a person eats, also has an effect on the person's dream. Kimin hama'acholim oilim ashanim el hamayach. Rabbi Nizal says, from that which a person eats during the day, there are vapors that rise up from the digestive system into the nervous system, into the brain. V'nitztairin mehem chaloimos b'sheina. And these vapors a vapor is like a very loose item, a very unconfined item. When these vapors become constricted, they form images in the person's brain, which actually result in dreams, Rabbi Nizal says. Al Kain, therefore, tzrichin lechazek es hamalach. Therefore, a Jew has to see to it to strengthen the malach, kedei shelo yihye nifgam hachalim al yidei hamacholim, so that the person's dream should not be affected in a negative way via what he's eating, via whatever he's eating. In order to avoid the negative effects of the food, if he makes the malach very, very strong, that can help avoid, completely circumvent any trouble, any problem that would be caused by what he's eating. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki kishein chizuk b'hamalach," because when the malach is not strengthened enough, azai nifgam hachaloim al yidei hamaacholim, then the person's dreams can be affected in a negative way through what a person eats, bebechinas chaloim al yidei shed chas v'shom, which result in this concept of chaloim al yidei shed. So now Rabbi Nizal mentioned the concept of strengthening a malach, strengthening this malach from whom the dreams come from, to avoid the negative effects that are brought about by the vapors of the food that a person eats during the day, which also could affect the dreams. Period. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to explain this whole topic of the malach and strengthening the malach, what's involved and who and how and what. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki yesh shivo iklimis. There are seven climates. Va'al kol iklim yesh malach mamuna. And over each one of these seven divisions of climate in the world, there is an angel appointed over them. Bebechina, says the Pasuk, says in Zechariah Hanavi, Shivo Einei Hashem Hema Meshoitetim Bechol Haaretz. Seven angels who get to see the eyes of Hashem, that's how close they are to Hashem, these seven angels fly throughout the world. They hover over the entire world. These seven angels correspond to these seven basic climates of the world. V'al kein, and therefore, bechol iklim, within every climate, gedelim peiros acherim, they grow different types of fruits, kifi hamemuna, according to the angel that's appointed over that climate. That's what determines the different nature, tropical type of fruit, or winter type fruit, whatever it is. V'al kein, heim nechlokim l'shivo iklimim, that's why the world is divided up into seven climates, kineged bechinas shivo roi, because it also corresponds to the seven leading tzaddikim of the Jewish people, the seven shepherds of Bnei Israel, Shehem Bechinas Tefillin, which correspond to the two shins on the Tefillin, which are also a concept of seven. Shemishom Nasin Bechinas Hamalochim Kanal. We said before that the Tefillin, which represent the purity of the mind, that has an effect on this concept of Chaloyim Al Yidei Malach. So just like Tefillin is a concept of seven, it draws its purity from these Shivaroyim, these seven leaders of the generation, so too these climates, which correspond to Malachim, are also seven. Rabbi Nizal says, Shemishom Nase Bechinas Hamalochim. From this tefillin is created the concept of these malochim. Now Rabbi Nizal explains. V'hashefa kisheyoyredes. Whenever Hashem sends down shefa to the world, whenever Hashem gives forth any of His product into the world, Mekabel oiso tchilo hamalach hamemunasham. The shefa first comes to this angel who's appointed over one of these seven climates. V'acharkach, after the shefa passes into the hands of the angel, yoyredes derech hashedim hasheichnim boavir. The second passageway that this shefa passes through is through the hands of these shedim who are found in the air. Shehem mekablim es hashefa bederech ma'avar levad. These shedim also receive this shefa that comes from Hashem, but they receive it only in passing, Rabbi Nizal says. It doesn't make a full stop in their possession, it only passes through their hands. Rak kidechiu ve'en yoin kimimeno rak kidechiu sam levad. And these shedim are only permitted to draw on this shefa only enough to sustain, to barely sustain themselves, not more. V'achakach, and after the shefa has passed through the hands of the malachim and the shedim, yoyredes hashefa lemato lo'isay hamokoim v'hasode shehashefa hilech tlesham. Then the third step is that the shefa goes down to the place, to that place or field where the Shefa is supposed to end up and manifest itself in the form of crops growing or money coming to a person or whatever it is, and whatever, or children or health, in whatever manner this Shefa manifests itself, that's its final destination. But first it passes through the hands of the Malachim, then in a very quick way via the hands of the Shedim, and then it ends up wherever it's supposed to end up. And before the world, before an ordinary member of the world receives Shefa from Hashem, the Shefa first is presented into the hands of the Melech. It first goes to the king. Bebechina, says the Pasuk, says, Antu Malka, the Mozoin Lechulabei. The Pasuk says that Daniel had a dream. In his dream, he saw a tree that had on it everything, every type of fruit and every type of animal and bird in the world was all drawing their sustenance from the tree. And when he interpreted this dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he told Nebuchadnezzar, what represents the tree? You, the king, you are this tree from whom all the sustenance of the world comes from you. So the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that any shefa that's disseminated in the world is first given to the kings, to the leaders, and they're the ones who give it out to the ordinary people. Nebuchadnezzar. Rabbi Nezal says, Shenemar Shom al Ho'ilon de Mosain Lechulabei. Daniel said this over there about this tree that had on it every type of food, you know, that was in existence, that was needed to feed any type of animal or any type of living being. Vizeh Bechinas, this is what the Pasuk says in Koheles, Melech Lesode Ne'evad, that a king has an association with the work in the field. Rabbi Nezal says, Shehamelech Mekabel HaShefa Min Asode, when the Shefa comes forth from the fields, the first one to receive it is the king. Dahainu Kishehashefa Bo Lamato, when the Shefa of Hashem comes below into this world, Oz Mekabeloisa HaMelech, the first one to receive it is the king. V'chol Elu Mekabla, period. The first one to receive it is the king, and then all the ordinary mortals of the world receive it via the king. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'chol Elu Mekablin Mebechinas Shakai. We said earlier in this chapter that what name of Hashem represents the Meichin, Kaviyochel, the brain of Hashem, from which all Shefa emanates, the name of Hashem that corresponds to that is the name Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud. Rabbi Nezal says, V'chol Elu, all of these, the angels, the Shedim, the Malochim, the fields, all of them draw, what's their point of origin? Their point of origin is Shakai, this name of Hashem, Shakai. Rabbi Nezal says, V'alkein kulam nikroim al shem Shakai. That's why you'll note that all of these intermediaries through whose hands the Shefa travels, all of them, their name is associated with this term Shakai. For example, Kished al shem Shakai. Shedim, why are they called Shedim? Why is that their name specifically? To show their association with this name of Hashem Shakai. Number one, V'chein Sodeh. What's the main physical form of manifestation of Shefa in this world? Fields. Fields are the items that all produce comes from fields, and even the cattle and beef that we eat, they are dependent on the fields. The chicken and everything, where do they draw their nourishment? From the fields. So the basic source of Shefa in this world is a field. What's the Hebrew word for field? Sodeh, hasodeh, the word hasodeh is bigimatria shakai. Again, shakai. V'chein ho'oived hasodeh, a person who works in the field, a laborer of the field, nikra al shem shakai, is also called shakai. K'moy shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Yeshaya, yefatach v'yeshadeid admosoi, that a worker, a field worker, a farmer, opens up and pulverizes his field in order to make it suitable for planting in it. Note the word v'yeshadeid admosoi, he pulverizes the earth. So we see that a laborer, a field laborer, is also called shin dalad yud. And when this angel is strengthened, when this angel from whom the dreams come from, when this angel is strengthened, azai ein hashedim mekablam hashefa rak derech ma'afar levad, then when the shefa passes through the hands of the shedim, they're not permitted to lock into it in any way, to grab hold of it in any way. It only passes through them in a very quick way. Ve'ein yoinkim imeno rak kidei chiyusam levad. And the shedim are only able to draw from the shefa only exactly what they need to survive in a very, very simple manner. But when the power of the angel becomes weakened, then these shadim are able to take control of and to possess completely the power of this malach, the power of the angel. Then this produce, now the fields that are cultivated from this shefa, which resided in the possession of this shadim for too long, these fields now have a spoiled product. Their product now has too much of the shadim in it, too much of the power of the shadim in it. Ki hem kiblu l'toichon mamish es koyach hamalach. Because these shadim have taken to themselves, actually, the koyach of the malach. Nimtzo, we see, so what happens as a result? Ki shegedelim hamacholim, when these crops grow, hem gedelim they grow with a mixture of this power of the shadim within them. And when a person eats from such produce, it causes there to be formed a dream through a shed. That's the symbolism when we said before that food, what a person eats, could affect his dream. It could affect the dream coming from a shed. Now we see a potential for this, because the food that a person eats has a potential for a close association and a damage with the shadim. Veloizu afzu. Rabbeinu Zal says not only this but more. Ki gam heim yecholim letame yesodam chas v'sholem b'sheino b'tumo hayedua chas v'sholem. Not only can this manifest itself in the wrong type of dream, but this food, the vapor that comes from this spoiled food that's been affected in this super negative way by the shadim, this food can actually affect this shadim. The effects of this shadim can manifest itself in a person chas v'sholem actually being nichshal in having an incident at night, chas v'shalom, a mikra, chas v'shalom, at night. Rabbeinu Zal says, why? How is that possible? Ki hamalach hu bechinas eish. We know that angels are referred to many times as fire. Kemoy shekosav, as is brought in Yechezkel HaNavi, when he saw a vision of angels, the pasuk says, mar'ehem ki gachalei eish boyeres kemarei lapidim. These angels appear to him as being very fiery, a fiery image. And when the power of the angel becomes weakened, then the shadim repossess the power of this angel. They warm the person. We said that the power of the angel is called a power of fire. When the shadim possess this power of fire, they use it to warm up a person, to inject this passion, this heat into the person. And they thereby, because the person to become tamei, to become defiled through this tuma at night, which comes via an arousal, a fiery arousal. Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein tzrichim lechazek es hamalach. Therefore, it's very, very important for a Jew to strengthen this malach, to give strength to the malach, so that the shadim should not be able to repossess his power, to take hold of his power. V'chizuk hamalach hu al yedei simcha. How does a Jew give strength to these angels, enough strength so that they should be able to afford a protection to the shefa that passes via their hands, that when the shefa is forced to pass through the hands of the shadim, it should only be very, very quick. It shouldn't be retained there for any length of time, so that the shadim should be able to take hold of it and spoil it. How does a person do this? How does he give chizuk to the malach? Through simcha. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, leiv someach yetiv ponim, that a person who has a happy heart, who has happiness in his heart, that person is zeichet to have a good face. And face, ponim, zebechinas hamalach. Rabbi Nizal says, that's the concept of face, represents the angels. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, o malach Ponov Hoshiyom, that we see the term ponim associated with malach, with angel. So Lev Someach, Yetiv Ponim, the Lev Someach, the happiness of the heart, helps, benefits the ponim, the malachim. Umalach Ponov Hoshiyom. Rabbein Azal says, so happiness, simcha, is what helps these malachim. Rabbein Azal says now, V'alkein mokoim ha-malachim nikro shchokim. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us that there are different locations in heaven. The address, the location, the neighborhood in which the malachim reside is called shchokim. Why? Rabbein Azal says, Al-shem shchoik v'simcha. The word shchoik means happiness. The neighborhood of the angels is called happiness, to show that this is what has a lot to do with strengthening the angel. The strength of the angels is dependent on the simcha of the Jewish people. Ki ikar chizuk hamalochim al yidei simcha kanal. The main strengthening of these angels is dependent on simcha. So Rabbein Azal finishes off this paragraph by saying that a person who is zeichet to have simcha, that simcha gives strength to the malachim to protect the shefa that comes via their hands, so that the shadim shouldn't be able to damage it to a large extent, so that when a person eats food that's been damaged by these shadim, the damage is reflected in getting dreams that come via shadim, which are dreams of tumah, or a chas v'shalom actually having an accident at night, chas v'shalom, this type of mikra, which is a super tuma, that's also brought about by these shadim. So Rabbein Azal finishes off right over here by saying that the cure for this is simcha. If a person is zeichet to simcha, the simcha gives strengthening to the malachim, and that prevents this whole problem, this whole chain of problems.
Since the problem exists even before it gets to the person, because if the shefas has gone to the malachim, then it's passing momentarily through to the shadim,
right,
and then to the person.
Right.
But if the person is not if the person, in other words, the shadim could have it before it reaches the person.
Right.
Was it retroactive?
No. The answer is what we're saying. You picture the shefa. Let's, just for simplicity's sake, let's picture the shefa as a ball, a basketball. Basketball's in Hashem's hands, he tosses it to the malachim. The malachim, according to how strong they are, they'll toss it with super power towards earth. They're gonna hurl it towards the earth. We know that in coming to the earth, it must pass via the shadim. If it passes there for a very, very short period of time, so that the shadim are only able to draw a little bit from that shefa, everything is cool. There's no problem. The crops that grow from such shefa are good crops. The person who eats from it, it's not going to damage his dream in any way. Everything's going to be good. If the malachim are not strengthened, if the koyach hamalach is not strong enough, then again, only for simplicity's sake, let's picture this, that the malach tries to throw this ball, but because he's very weak, he can only throw it at a very slow speed. Slow speed, now this basketball is maintained by the shadim. Instead of it being there for 2 seconds, it's there for 2 hours. It takes it 2 hours to pass through the 6,000 miles of their domain. They're able to latch onto it much more and spoil it, so that now when this shefa comes into the sodeh, a person eating from the crops of that sodeh, the vapors coming from that kind of food is going to have a bad effect on a ma'acholim. So the person, where does the person cut this off? If the person is zeicher to be in super simcha, his simcha will energize the malachim to give them the strength to be able to present the shefa to earth in such a way that the shadim are not able to latch onto it and damage it to such an extent, chas v'shalom.
Is the food in Eretz Yisrael superior?
Most definitely. Because the Gemara in Tainus uses the wording Eretz Yisrael Sheset Chila. Eretz Yisrael is the first one to get shefa from Hashem. They get the choicest, the purest. No question at all. That's why the majority of mitzvahs that are dependent on food are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Shemitah, all of those laws. Why? Because obviously the crops of Chutz Loretz are not of a pure enough level to be able to give forth that radiance that's needed in these mitzvahs.
Isn't it a little bit simpler necessarily from eating, or just in general being?
The answer is, for right now, he's talking about simcha, period. Although, now let's see if somebody can get the punchline here. That's it. Beautiful. If you remember, Rebbe Zal said in the Halacha Shirim of Birchas Hamazon, the one word that he said, the Arizal adds, the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch stress Birchas Hamazon with Kavono. the Arizal adds the word simcha, that is a special mitzvah at the time of Birchas Hamazon to be in simcha. This term, the Kodem Aram, explains that statement of the Arizal. Because we see, what is Birchas Hamazon? The Birchas Hamazon is what's going to determine exactly the manner in which the food is digested. You've eaten already. Now the vapors are starting to go. What's going to determine the status of those vapors and how they affect your brain? The Birchas Hamazon. That's what's going to really purify the food and purify the vapors and everything. That's why the Arizal gives a specific azhara that it's, in other words, in a way, mistama, it's also true for, I'm sure, in other words, doctors tell you this, that if a person is in a bed, in a depressed state of mind, he won't digest his food properly. That we know is a fact. That simcha helps the digestion. That's in physical terms. But note that the azhara that the Arizal gives is that word simcha during Birchas Hamazon, because that's what affects the whole, the results of what's going to happen with the food.
First of all, is there any significance about mentioning that the shefa goes through the melech?
Right.
What is the significance of mentioning that?
Because he wanted to show how every step of the way is the singing of Shin Dalad Yud. But one second, right. Right, Melech l'sode nevad. In other words, exactly. Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to leave out any steps. He's showing you the whole transition of the shefa as it starts from Hashem to human beings. So he gave you every single step of the way, and he showed you how every step of the way was hooked into this name of Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud. Because where does the shefa originate from? From the brain. Shefa is oyer. It's a form of oyer. What did we once mention about a gematria on shefa? The one shefa. Huh? No. We once said something. I'm trying to recall. I saw it in a say. Oh, I know what. From tefillah, that the ikar tefillah comes through. That the ikar source of shefa is tefillah. That's why tefillah has to be with simcha. That's why there's such an important mitzvah to daven with simcha, because we know the Gemara says that who are the ones to originate the tefillah for Bnei Israel? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Avinu. They were the ones who taught us tefillah. By Avraham Avinu, the pasuk uses the lashon amido. The verb that's used for him getting up to pray is Vayamoid Avram, something like that. He got up. The term Amido, the first letter is an Ayin. By Yitzchak Avinu, it says Vayitza Yitzchak Losuach Basodeh. By him, the word Sicha is used, which is a sin or a shin. By Yaakov Avinu, Vayifga Bamokoim, Vayolin Shom. The Gemara says Ein Pegia Elatfila. The verb that's used by him is Pegia. So, Sicha. Pegia, Amida, make up the first letters, make up the word Shefa. This shows us that the whole makar of Shefa is totally in Tefillah. Therefore, Tefillah also has to be Besimcha. But Afka, the Azhara, that before you start davening, to get yourself into a happy frame of mind.
Other than the fact that the Malachim are connected, really see the connection of Simcha to this whole Shefa process? And what way is Simcha strengthening to
the... For now, Rabbein Nizal told us a fact that the energy, you want to know what the batteries of the malachim are made up of? It's made up of simcha. And he proved it through a pasuk, Lev Sameach Yetiv Ponim. That Ponim is malach. There's a pasuk called Malach Ponov Hashem. Ponim is malach. Lev Sameach Yetiv Malach. A happy heart will strengthen. Yetiv means improve the malach. So simcha is what improves the malach. And the whole manner in which the shefa comes out to earth is dependent on that malach. And the malach, you want your dream to come from the malach. Therefore, you better see to it that the malach's batteries are fully charged.
This is axiomatic.
100%. Also here, it's like broken up into seven halakim.
Right.
There are seven
climates
and correct. Seven malach and mimuna in each climate.
Correct.
But then we learn always...
I'm sorry, what did you say? Mimuna?
Mimuna,
exactly.
Then we'll say that each blade of grass has its own malach.
True. That's obviously, here it means a higher level malach. In other words, there's a Gemara that says, a Medrash that says, that Ein lecha kol esav esav melmata she'ema, although, not these two don't have to conflict. Could be it means every... It doesn't say that each blade has a different malach. Each blade... There isn't a blade of grass that moves without a malach striking it. One malach is mamuna over... I don't know. In other words, I don't know which is true. But if it's true that each malach has its own... Each blade of grass has its own particular malach, it's understood that that realm, malachim also have officers, as we're going to see soon. The next paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss the appointeeship of malachim. Malachim being appointed into leadership positions within their own government, within the government of malachim. So there's no conflict there.
I think it was the same thing Nechemi was asking, that if you already ate, the whole thing is simcha, is that you strengthening the malachim, kaviyachal, their hands, whatever, that show, shoot the Shefa down, meaning so that their future Shefa will be from them alone. So how does it help like what you already ate?
The answer is again, because what in order for what you ate to affect it to affect you, there's a digestive process, right?
Right.
You eat. The Gemara says for a minimum of 72 minutes after you finished eating, you don't have to bend. You can still continue eating without, in other words, your benching holds out for that 72 minutes. Why? That's kedei ikul hamozon. There's an amount of time that it takes the food to be broken up and fully digested in physical terms. Now, the vapors to affect the brain, that doesn't happen until the person goes to sleep. So we're saying that up until that point, this whole procedure is still happening. It's still, the wheels are still churning. So until this is finalized, you're still in a position to strengthen the koyach hamalach versus the koyach hashem, either at point of origin or at point of dream, which is the grand finale. In other words, we showed how this, by the point of origin, there's this malach shed controversy, and in the finale, after the person has grown the crops and cut them and harvested and eaten and digested, then again this malach shed conflict comes into play.